We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
A Radio.com sports station. Two Wisconsin guys talking Wisconsin sports in the morning. Broadcasting live on the Radio.com app. 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's time for Chuck and Winkler in the Morning, live from the Bryant and Stratton Bobcat Studios.
Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Good morning. No, this is not the voice of Bart Winkler. This is the voice of Radio Joe from the Bill Michaels Show, which is coming up at 10 a.m. this morning. I'm alongside the guy that's not Chuck Freeman, Kevin Olden, CBS 58. Evan Effelfinger with your updates this morning. He's in for Ryan. So the Brewers, they lose again yesterday. 1-0. Almost got no hit. Luis Castillo was on his game. Keston Hira finally breaks up the no-hitter. Christian Yelich has a double in the 9th inning. Brewers try to get him in. They can't. The Brewers now have gone through 23 scoreless innings for an offense that was so good and expected to be so good. And I said at the beginning of the season that this Brewers offense is going to have to carry the pitching staff because we don't know what you're going to get from the pitching staff. Well, as of late, it has not been that. It's been torture. And I think for all you Brewer fans out there watching yesterday, you were just begging any way possible to get a run in, and they couldn't. And now what's even more bizarre, and I can't remember a division race like this, especially at this point in the season, now that we're into the fourth month, you have a 3.5-game gap between the first-place team and the last-place team. And that last-place team beat you yesterday. So you got the Brewers and Cubs tied for first. The Cardinals are right there, a game and a half back. The Pirates, who the Brewers start a 3-game set in Pittsburgh tonight, 3 back, and then 3.5 back are the Cincinnati Reds. What we want to know from you this morning at 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250 is this. Are the 2019 Milwaukee Brewers overrated or are they underrated? Kevin, I'll ask you, overrated or underrated?
Man, Ed, that's you're talking about a deep, deep question for this team, too. I mean, we've seen 88 games now, and we've seen some highs and we've seen some lows, and I think fans who saw what happened last year were expecting more highs than they've seen so far. I think they've expected this Brewers team to, especially with this division being this close together, to be running away with it a little bit. My judgment is clouded a bit by the division because I think the Reds are a pretty good baseball team, and I think the Pirates are a pretty good baseball team. And then, of course, we know the Cardinals and the Cubs will be right there. This one is a difficult thing because I think the Brewers might still have their best baseball ahead of them. There's some things you got to make work. For one, the offense has to come around, and I think that's a temporary thing. There's enough bats that if it's tonight, if it's this weekend, if it's after the All-Star break, I think that offense will come around. My concern is that rotation, really more than anything, and I guess the bullpen too, but you have to find 5 guys or at least 3 or 4 that are going to be functional. And if you're going to say they're overrated, then that's where it is, right? Because if someone says the Brewers are a playoff team, but if they can't find a couple of good starting pitchers, then that's overrated, right? I'm going to go with underrated. I think their best baseball is ahead still. But this is not one of those things where if someone said they were overrated that I would fight them necessarily, because so far, pitching-wise, I think they've had a lot of trouble.
But right now, the pitching has kept them in a lot of these ball games,
right?
Now, it didn't help the situation in Game 2 against Cincinnati. That's a game where you probably could have used another reliever in that game to kind of help you get through it. Because now Craig Counsell's in a tough situation with his bullpen. If he's not going to use Josh Hader in the ninth and he's going to try to use him in high leverage situations, now all of a sudden, who is the pitcher behind Josh Hader? Is it Jeremy Jeffress? Is it Matt Albers? Is it Junior Guerra? It seemed like Adrian Hauser could have been that guy, but you moved him to the rotation. So there's a lot of questions there. Kevin, I have to agree with you that this Brewers team is underrated. And I think the one thing that Brewer fans have to be careful of, especially when you go into a season, I think sometimes people want the Brewers to be loaded. You know, they want to be loaded top to bottom. Like mm-hmm. it's like you want to have a team that's ready to compete for the World Series right now. And that's just not how it works. You're not going to have the loaded roster. There's going to be a point in the season where you'll have to go out and make improvements to your team. Every team does it. Every team goes through growing pains. Every team's going to have a losing streak. The Brewers have had a couple losing streaks. They've also had a couple of winning streaks.
Mm-hmm.
The Corey Knebel thing, I think, threw a lot of people off, and there was really nothing the Brewers could have done. They're not going to go out and make a trade for a closer after Corey Knebel goes down with a torn or goes through Tommy John surgery. So you're watching this Brewers team throughout, and there are good moments with them, and there's also bad moments where they just hit ruts and they just can't figure it out. But I'm with you that there is a lot of baseball left to be played, and this Brewers team can get on a winning streak. Again, their longest winning streak of the season, 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like this team is incapable of getting hot. They've been playing 500 baseball now for a while, but all you got to do is flip a switch. And if this offense can just find it again, I don't know what needs to be done different, but if they can just find it again with the pitching that they've been getting lately, and that pitching could still use some additions, this team should be fine. I think it's impressive that the Brewers have still been holding on to first place, even through all of this.
Right.
I mean, yeah, granted, the Cubs aren't running away with it, and they're playing really bad baseball, but it's not like the Brewers right now are 5 or 6 games under 500. You know, they're 4 over. They're okay.
Yeah.
And we knew the division was going to be good. So I think we got to give a little credit to the Reds and Pirates. I think this Brewers team's underrated. I'm not going to say that this is who they are. They're going to need additions like everyone else. We just don't know what the trade market's going to look like because there's so many good teams in it right now.
Yeah, if there's anything that throws a wrench into the Brewers' plans, it's that. It's the fact that the division is chaos there. All 5 teams are in it, which means all 5 teams could conceivably be buyers at the trade deadline. There's one trade deadline, July 31st. Last year, the Brewers got Gio and Curtis Granderson on August 31st.
Right.
They can't do that this year. So that's significant. And the fact that you leave yourself open to random things happening when you take half a season out and have all 5 teams close. You know what I mean? Like, the Pirates winning 12 of 15 when they're 20 games back doesn't matter. The Pirates winning 12 of 15 when they're in striking distance throws the division into complete chaos. That's the thing, right? That's where not separating yourself could throw a wrench into your season. That's not overrated or underrated. That's just, it's a cage match.
Yeah.
5 guys are in there. So, you know, if somebody gets hot for a minute, that might be the difference. But I don't know if here's why I can't say overrated, why I have to say underrated, because now I'm going to take the parts, right? You look at the parts that they have, and now you have Woodruff, who looks like an ace, and you have Chacin, who was an ace last year and can return to that form. So now you've got those 2 guys at the front, and you've got enough options that somebody should fill out 3 and maybe 4 in that rotation. I think it's going to stabilize a little bit, that part of it, with the rotation. You make a trade, you get another pitcher,
mm-hmm.
They're even better. And they can hit. They're just not hitting lately. But they, you know, Moose, Grandal, Yelich, Hura. It's half a lineup right there of really good hitters.
And Braun is hit or miss. Braun gets into his hot streaks. Lorenzo Cain has been off all season. He doesn't blame the issue with the thumb. He just blames himself that he knows he's been having a down year and he needs to figure it out. I worry about the thumb, though,
mm-hmm.
because that no one really knows with cryotherapy how well that's going to work out. It was a big question mark for Ryan Braun when he had it done. It ended up working out. Don't know if it's going to work out with Lorenzo Cain. Don't know if this is going to be a nagging issue throughout the rest of his career. He's under contract for a while.
I tell you, by the way, that I have that issue with my thumb, the same issue.
You do?
Yeah.
Really?
I have Ryan Braun's thumb.
Really?
Yep.
You've had cryotherapy done?
Nope. Because it cost $10,000 to do. Yeah. I went to the doc and he's like, look, you can do this for 10 grand and it works for a couple months. Or you can just, you know, plus I don't hit for a living.
Yeah.
I only found out about it when I started to lift weights because you put that bar down on the thumb.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, you know, a standard size weight that shouldn't be an issue in my left arm. I'm fine. And in my right arm, it's like somebody's death pinching the base of my thumb. Like, ah, you know, like everything stops, right? And they did an X-ray and there's this little, it's the same thing he's got, this bump that's right here at the base of the thumb. And he's like, I mean, unless you want to spend a ton of money, maybe get a glove or something, try to lessen the impact of it. Anyway, just thought I'd throw that in.
The Ryan Braun of the fan.
It's weird, right?
Yeah. 414-799-1250. Are the Brewers overrated or underrated? Kevin and I, we are not willing to say they're overrated. We believe that the Brewers still have some really good baseball ahead of them. It's a competitive division. They have a chance to take 2 out of 3 against a team that is right on their tail. Really, 2 out of 3 would go a long way. The Brewers did it the last time against the Pirates. Can they do it tonight? We will have the On Deck show, the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show coming up tonight. And then also after the last pitch, you make the switch to the Bayview Shade and Blind baseball postgame show. So that's all coming up, Brewers and Pirates. But again, overrated or underrated, it's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. We'll have more next on The Fan. Good morning, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Here in the Bryan and Stratton College Athletics Studios, it's Chuck and Winkler. He's Kevin Olden, CBS 58. I'm Radio Joe. In for the boys this morning. Coming up here in about 15 minutes, we're going to do something fun.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's something we've done before. We've done it on this show when we filled in for the guys. We've done it on the Bill Michaels show when we filled in for Bill. We're going to get a little Spanish lesson with our very own Kevin Holden. Not only does he do fine work for CBS 58, he also does select Brewers and Packer preseason games on Telemundo, Wisconsin.
That's right. Crazy as that is.
So we're going to learn some Spanish with Kevin coming up here in about 15 minutes. I always love doing this with Kevin. But we're asking you at 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. And you can also hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/1057FM The Fan, or on Twitter at 1057FM The Fan. Are the Milwaukee Brewers overrated or underrated? Both of us feel they are underrated, and there is still some really good baseball ahead for this Brewers team. It doesn't feel good right now. The Brewers are incapable of scoring runs. But the test for me, Kevin, is you look at the roster and you go up and down the roster, and it's always what are they on paper and what do the baseball card numbers say about them?
Right.
And if you just look at the names and what you know about them and just their career numbers and play the below average, above average, there's a few guys that are below average what they're supposed to be doing out there. And again, perfect example is Lorenzo Cain. Lorenzo Cain has really let this Brewers offense down. He was always an automatic to lead off, get a hit, let Yelich hit behind him, knock him in. Especially this season more than ever with Yelich hitting almost as many home runs as he did last year. Imagine if you had a 300 hitting Lorenzo Cain ahead of Christian Yelich in that lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many 2-0 games would we be talking about? I just think, looking across at what this Brewers team is, they could be playing a little bit better than what their record shows. And I think Greg Council knows that too.
So it's the opposite of regression. You know, when the Brewers made it to Game 7 of the NLCS last year, there were people talking about regression. They were saying, this team, is going to, you know, take a step back because they played over what they were capable of last year. And that really angered Christian Yelich, and that should make Brewers fans really happy because that word regression did not sit well with him. So Christian Yelich is being the same guy, except over the course of a full year, not just September.
I love with the chip on the shoulder attitude where he constantly proves people wrong.
It's crazy.
Watch, he'll win the home run derby because everyone was kind of doubting him. And then watch, he'll continue with the production in the second half.
It's amazing because he was a really good player for the Brewers. And then in that last month and a half or so is when we started thinking, oh, he's an MVP. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you had had that discussion at this time last year, you'd say, you know, Yelich has been a really good player. He could be in that voting of MVP. And then by the time you saw his August and September last year, you're like...
Then it was like, there's no question.
Yeah, like, this would be a travesty if Baez was the MVP.
Yeah, he's way better than Javi Baez. There's no comparison. He's out there making big hits every night. And the numbers just continue to be astronomical since the All-Star break of last season. It's like when you compare what he's doing this season... Add that from August and September of last season, the numbers are just off the charts.
Yeah, it's crazy, crazy numbers. So you know, he's not regressing. And I think you have, you know, that the term, I guess, is reverse regression. Is that progression? Anyway, the idea is that there are some players who will be better than their numbers indicate. Kane, I think, is one really good example. Kane's a guy that you could see putting up better numbers the rest of the way as long as the thumb is not a huge issue for him.
Right, which I have concerns about. Because we don't know how that thumb's going to act.
Right, that could be a legitimate thing, right? Grandal is sort of at the cusp here of a little slump, but I feel like those numbers will maintain. Mm-hmm. Moose's numbers should maintain. And you had a guy like Travis Shaw, and I mean, will you see him again this year? Who knows? But if you do, maybe there's a progression there. Maybe Shaw is the Domingo Santana of this year.
Could
where
be.
He went from AAA guy to big producer for you in August and September. Eric Thames, Jesus Aguilar. So there are ways where this team can progress. And pitching is in the same boat, too. I mean, there's some guys, Chacin is probably the best example there, who you expected this high level, you haven't gotten it yet, but there hasn't been much that leads you to, like, Chacin is not hurt that I know of. He's not, you know, going to have surgery.
I mean, he was hurt earlier this year. He did have a DL stint.
Right.
But we took him for granted last year.
Yep. A team that was bereft of starting pitching, and he was a consistent guy.
Yeah, you know, we talk about Aguilar, we talk about Shaw, and we constantly complain about how disappointing they've been. I mean, you know me, I've been really complaining about Travis Shaw. But Chacin, I think, has gotten away with a lot of criticism from fans. Like, no one has talked about Chacin and how disappointing he's been this season.
Right.
It was good to see him pitch well the other night. I don't know if that's a product of Manny Pena catching him or Chacin just found it. That's a guy that, if he was pitching the same way he was last year, the Brewers probably have at least three or four more wins.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that. That is how crucial Chacin was. So imagine if he can have a solid second half and get more quality starts. I think he only has like three quality starts this season or something.
Man, that's crazy. And he had the control problems and all that other stuff. Here's the thing. How many Brewers in the lineup can you look at their numbers and you can say, this is worse than I expected, worse than I was thinking would take place, that they've underperformed? And there's several guys. I mean, the Shaws and the Aguilars are at the lead of that group, but there's several. Chacin is in that group as well. Jeremy Jeffress is in that group, in my opinion.
Jeremy Jeffress is starting to worry me.
A little bit, right?
Because he's starting to worry me a little bit.
Because you need him, right? Now, on the other side, how many Brewers players do you see their numbers for this year and say, well, that's way beyond what I expected, they should regress? And I think I have one name, and that's it.
Who you got?
Davies. He's the only guy that I look at and I go, oh, I don't know if he can maintain that. And he very well might, because he has in previous years maintained it. So,
he's starting tonight.
Right?
They need him tonight.
But that's, to me, a sign of an overrated team is a team that has six guys that you say that about. Oh, those numbers are way more than he'll be capable of over a full season. The Brewers don't have anybody like that. The guys who are hitting are good hitters. They should continue to hit. The guys that have pitched pretty well, you expect that to continue. Davies is probably the only guy in that boat. Maybe Woodruff has a little drop, but Woodruff looks like an ace to me. Like, that looks real.
It seeing him throw 98, 99, and we've seen a couple of times 100 miles an hour from your starter.
Yeah, that's solid.
Yesterday he was able to maintain that velocity into the sixth inning. Mm. He was still throwing 97, 98. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be Clayton Kershaw or anything, but man, when you get that kind of velocity from a starter who's able to mix in some really good off-speed pitches, I don't know, man. You've got something there in Woody.
Didn't walk a batter yesterday?
Yeah.
If you put that stuff together with no walks, you're going to get a lot of wins.
Hey, at the beginning of the year, it was the whole Woodruff Burns Peralta thing. Oh, obviously you want to hit on all three, but sometimes that's not going to happen with younger guys.
Right.
You hit on one with Woodruff, and that goes a long way. And with the Zach Davies thing, like you mentioned, I said at the beginning of the year, give Davies and Anderson another chance.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were willing to give up on both of these guys. Davies could not stay healthy at all last year. And I said, look, 2 years ago, these guys were your best pitchers in the rotation. Plus, you had Jimmy Nelson. Those guys were there. None of those guys were contributors last year for this team. Significant contributors. Now, let's see if you can hit on one of those guys. And Davies, you've been able to hit on. Davies is not a bad pitcher.
Right.
So now, if those guys can stay consistent, who else can also just step it up a little bit? Who can have a second half hot streak, whether it's a pitcher or it's an offensive hitter? Chacin is someone I'd really put my money on.
Chacin, Adrian Hauser could step in, I think.
Now, what are your thoughts on Hauser? I mean, do you think he should be in the pen or should he be starting?
I think Craig Counsell wants his 2019 bullpen to be his 2018 bullpen really badly, right?
Right.
We're like, Hader's a closer, and he's like, Let's put Hader, you know, back in that 2018 role where he's getting the most important outs, but they're not necessarily in the ninth. Counsell really wants, I think he really wants that. He would love for someone to step up and become Corey Knebel of last year. And I think that's Hauser. I think that's where he's just a thought in my mind that if Hauser could step in there, then he could have Hader, Jeffress, Hauser, and it would be sort of a patchwork version of Hader, Jeffress, Knebel of last year. That's what I think is going to come.
414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Are the Brewers overrated or underrated? Yeah, the Hauser thing is interesting, though. Counsell said something interesting at the beginning of the year where he goes, you know, the way we run our team is based on the personnel that we have. So, for example, last season, you had all these good relievers, so we're going to put a greater emphasis on going to our bullpen earlier in a game, whereas we're not going to really go with the traditional 5-6 innings out of a starting pitcher because we have so many good talented pitchers, we want to make sure we use them and make sure we get through as many clean innings as we can to give our offense a chance to score some runs. So the Hauser thing is fascinating because if he continues to pitch well as a starter and he's able to eat up innings, do you just stick with that? Or if David Stearns is able to find a starter at the trade deadline, then you could just do what you've been doing before. Like you mentioned, just put Hauser back there and he will eat 2 to 3 innings late in the season and into the postseason. I don't know how the trade market is going to pan out, though, and that's why no one's making moves right now because everyone is still trying to find their identity.
Yeah.
Everyone is still trying to figure out. There's really like there's five teams in the American League that are essentially done. Like the Mariners have already claimed that they're going to be sellers.
Right.
They've already been selling pieces.
Right.
Detroit is bad. Kansas City is bad. Baltimore's bad. Toronto's bad. The National League, everyone is still trying to find their identity.
There's a lot of good teams.
So if it continues to be this way, where all these teams are kind of fighting each other out here over the next couple of weeks, it's going to be really hard to determine who wants to be a buyer. And if all these teams want to be buyers and the few sellers that you have, now that's going to raise up the price even more. And there's only one trade deadline. So how are you going to... this could be a bidding war for certain guys.
And I think we think of this as something that's in the future, but one of the after effects of what you're talking about, this market with a ton of sellers and not a lot of buyers, means someone is going to jump the market by making a trade now. In other words, we're thinking of this July 31st as this distant thing, but I think how some teams are going to try to jump it is they're going to try to beat that deadline by doing it early, which means trade deadline is about to become our big topic of conversation, not in 2 or 3 weeks, in 2 or 3 days. It's going to happen right now. That's my humble opinion on this.
But is a team willing to overpay for a pitcher?
Right.
Overpay for a reliever?
And you know Stearns doesn't do it that way.
No.
And he works.
And he wants a guy with control. Like, we talk about Will Smith. Will Smith, a lot of ties to this team, good friends of Jeremy Jeffers, is having a hell of a year for San Francisco. He would be a rental. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have extra years of control. Stearns likes to trade for guys with control. Will Smith doesn't have control. And if every team who wants to be a buyer wants Will Smith, who's probably one of the best lefties out there out of the bullpen, how much do you want to pay for that?
Yep.
How much do you want to pay? Man.
Tigers want to give up Matthew Boyd, but they want Hira plus other stuff, and that's a switch to off situation for me. Like,
Hira's untouchable for you, right?
Hit it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good. Okay. Yeah.
At 100%. Like, look, you know, you could put together some kind of package, I'm sure, to change my mind. But if you're talking about doing something like that and you have to give up Hira plus other parts, I don't think I can do it. This dude is raking at the major league level, and he's making veteran decisions at the plate. Things that you see guys with years of experience in the league doing, he's already doing. I mean, it should excite you. I don't know if second base is his long-term future position, but it should excite you.
He's Kevin Holden, CBS 58. I'm Radio Joe. On the other side, we're going to learn a foreign language. And you're familiar with this foreign language. It's Spanish. We're going to have some fun coming up next year on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins here in the Bryan and Stratton College Athletic Studios. No Chuck, no Bart today. Radio Joe and Kevin Holden pinch hitting for the guys. Don't forget, you can get in on our Twitter question of the day for your chance at a pair of Summerfest tickets. Hard to believe Summerfest is almost over. Is competitive eating a sport? Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Use the hashtag CWTickets for your chance. We can talk more about that coming up. A lot of guests coming up on the show today, too. We'll talk with Jeff Hathorn from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Get his thoughts on the Pirates coming up at 8:20. J.R. Radcliffe of the Journal Sentinel will join us at 8:35 in studio. We'll talk some Brewers, get his thoughts on this whole overrated, underrated thing. I think I know where J.R. is going. We've had some good back and forths on Twitter. By the way, you can follow Kevin at 321QKevin, C-U-E, not the letter Q. Brought to you by the letter Q. I'm at Radio Joe Sports. So we do something every time I have a chance to do a show with Kevin. We've been doing this bit where we get to learn some Spanish, because for those that don't know, Kevin Holden does a lot of great stuff for CBS 58. He also on the side does stuff for Telemundo Wisconsin, where he will call select Brewer games on Sundays, home games, of course. He doesn't get to travel.
No, sadly.
Sadly, yeah. And he also gets to do Packer preseason games for Telemundo, which is also really cool. So what we like to do in this particular bit is I like to have Kevin translate certain calls to games. And we've done baseball. So, Kevin, for example, let's play a highlight here. This is a baseball highlight.
All right.
I want you to translate it like you would be calling the game.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Here we go.
In the air, deep left center field, and Hira will watch this one fly way back there. Wow! A booming home run by Keston Hira. Goes up into the second deck in left center. And the Brewers strike first, 1-0. As the fabulous rookie from UC Irvine delivers.
All right.
Okay.
I had to write some of that down.
That was a wordy one from BA.
That's a lot right there.
All right, go for it.
All right, so yeah, if you're doing this on the, I got to like kind of, you know. Yeah,
get it in the moment.
Shake it up a little
moment,
bit, get the juices flowing. Usually I have like a bunch of coffee before the Telemundo game. So yeah, here is stepping in and it goes something like this. Un batazo elevado y profundo al campo central, a profundo cuadrangular. El novato Keston here al segundo nivel, el campo izquierdo central. Increíble, el novato de UC Irvine en los cerveceros con la ventaja 1-0.
Well done.
All right.
Well done.
Yeah, I had to dig for that.
Profundo. What does that
profundo,
mean?
Like profundo, like deep.
Deep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would have said profound.
Elevado y profundo. High and deep. High and deep.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's what we like to do. So we've done, I know we've done some football highlights. I know we've done some baseball highlights.
Yeah.
I want to try basketball
okay.
with you.
All right. That'll be interesting. It'll be new.
The thing is, basketball is hard because the game is constantly moving.
Right.
There's basket after basket after basket after basket. And sometimes when we're trying to find a good highlight on Fox Sports Wisconsin, it's hard for Jim Paschke or Gus Johnson when he was here. It's hard to find like a clean, solid highlight where he's able to do it from one side of the court to the other. Here it is. A lot of times it's just so fast, you're not even able to get a call in. You're better off just having a conversation about something because the game is moving so fast.
Right. And then what ends up happening is the basket's scored and then you kind of react back to it, right?
Right.
Oh, that was Giannis with the dunk.
All right. So let's try this highlight, courtesy, I don't know if this is TNT or Fox Sports Wisconsin. Let's find out.
He cannot find the range. Had a three the other night. Here's Andrew Cooper.
That's the way to make sure it goes in.
Oh, yeah.
If you can't use two hands for safety, palm it with one and dunk on somebody. Don't lay it up.
Okay. Now, you heard two guys talking there on TNT. Try to do your best if that was one guy. I can play for you one more time if you want.
Maybe one
okay,
more.
Okay,
yeah.
One more.
Cannot find the range. Had a three the other night. Here's Andrew Cooper.
That's the way to make sure it goes in.
Oh, yeah.
If you can't use two hands for safety, palm it with one and dunk on somebody. Don't lay it up.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Here we
Let's
go.
See what we can do with this. This is
Kevin
gonna be
Olden
interesting.
In Spanish.
Los Bucks con el ovoide, that's the football. Los Bucks con el balón y Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis, increíble, el dunk muy fuerte. Si no puedes usar dos manos para seguridad, una mano basta. Giannis con la cesta de dos puntos. I don't know, it wasn't great.
It wasn't bad. You wouldn't have fooled me.
The thing that I'd have to figure out, and I would have to do this before the broadcast, is how you handle the words Greek freak. Because it's an English construct, right? Greek freak. The idea that nickname sticks is because it rhymes, right? It's not going to rhyme in Spanish. So I think I would probably say it as Greek freak, even though there's a word for Greek and a word for freak. I think I would probably stick with words. Just say it in English, Greek freak.
Yeah, there are some words that you have to keep in English, like you said, Los Bucks.
Yeah, Los Bucks. Because I mean, what do you know? Somebody joked with me one time that they would be los dólares, as in the dollars, like bucks, as in money.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I guess that would be a problem. With
See, the NBA has done this before. They will do, Hispanic Heritage Night or whatever. And then those teams would wear jerseys and it would say Los Bucks or Los Bulls or whatever. But I think it would be cool to get the translation of bull. Toro.
Yeah.
Los Toros.
Los Toros, yeah, why not?
What's buck Spanish?
I mean, you'd translate the word deer, wouldn't you?
Yeah, deer.
Ciervo. C-I-E-R-V-O.
Ciervo. Sí.
Or venado. It's another one. El venado.
Okay.
But, yeah, I get that. Well, and here's one that always strikes me as interesting, Joe. You know, you've seen Miami do this. And in Miami, it's more significant because you have such a heavy Hispanic population in South Florida. But their jerseys say El Heat. You can translate heat?
Yeah.
That's a word. It's C-A-L-O-R, el calor. You can say that. I don't know
caliente.
Why. Caliente. I don't know why you would not. I don't know. That one I never understood. Why is it el heat? That's That's like something we said in like Spanish 1 in high school, you know? Like, we didn't know the word, so we just said El Hito.
El Hito.
That I never understood.
Yeah. See, I just wish when the NBA does this again, just why not translate the name of the team?
Yeah.
I think that's what makes it really cool.
But one of the things that I absolutely love about doing Brewers games is that the Brewers have such a fun name in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Cerveceros, as in cerveza,
right?
Beer, and the E-R-O-S on the end is makers of beer. Like all the teams in the Mexican League are like tomateros, tomato growers.
Yeah.
Naranjeros, orange growers.
Right.
Like there's so many that are EROS, which is makers of, and this is Cerveceros, makers of beer. Right?
Right.
Like, that's a cool name.
That is.
And there is a term for packers, empacadores, which we use, which is literally a straight translation.
Pacadores.
But when we do the broadcast, I will say packers half of the time, the English word packers, because I like it better.
Right.
I do. And the Packers are such a franchise that they're so well known, like that brand is so well known that it doesn't matter what community you're from, you know them as the Packers.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like in the Hispanic community, they're the Packers.
They're the Packers.
Yeah.
Right.
Even though there's a word for them.
All right. I'm going to do one more and then we'll do a couple more on the other side as well.
Okay.
Because I want you to do some soccer calls.
Oh, boy.
I want you to do soccer. So here's one more basketball highlight courtesy of TNT. Take a listen to this one.
Doing a good job at the offensive end.
It's Hill for three. There's Hill from straight away. 71-65, Milwaukee. Hill with a second three-pointer.
Okay. That's a little bit easier.
That's easier.
Than the Giannis one. Okay, we can do this. We can do this.
You're Marv Alberto.
Yes! Wait, what if I was like, see? Would that be bad? Oh no, now that image is going to be stuck in my head all day. Yeah. The Spanish Marv Albert. Oh boy. Oh boy. Okay.
Even Quiley
knows what's up with that. George Hill, veteranísimo. George Hill, intento de tres puntos. Y sí, conectado con una cesta de tres puntos. George Hill, la ventaja de los Bucks, 71-65. Hill con su segunda cesta de tres puntos.
Very good.
That's not too bad, right?
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, it's the funny thing about basketball is I have never done it. I don't know if I can say this on the air. I guess I can. There have been some discussions about doing Bucks games. It just hasn't come together yet. You know, sometimes it's in the negotiation phase.
Right.
But we've been very close to having Bucks games, but I've never done it. That hasn't happened yet. So this is all new for me.
You got to drink a lot of coffee for those kind of games.
There are two types of liquid that help my Spanish, and unfortunately the other one I can't.
Fair enough.
Can't be drinking a lot of beer before broadcast. Can't be Harry Carey.
Right.
Hi, everybody.
Imagine me as the Telemundo version of Harry Carey.
Harry Carey-o. Harry-o, Carey-o. He's Kevin Holden, CBS 58. I'm Radio Joe. We'll do a couple more of these coming up next. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins here on The Fan. Good morning, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Hope you had a good 4th. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. Here in the Bryan and Stratton College Athletic Studios, alongside Kevin Holden of CBS 58 and Telemundo, Wisconsin. I'm Radio Joe Zenzola from the Bill Michaels Show, which is coming up at 10 today. Bill will be here. He's not off. So
nice.
He will be doing his show at 10, the big show at 2 with Tim and Tausch. Got Brewers and Pirates tonight. Game 1 of a 3-game set on Pittsburgh. But we are continuing on here. We're also going to be doing, after the top of the hour, 7 for Kevin. We do, the guys do 5 for Freems for Chuck. We're going to do 7 for Kevin. So that's coming up after the top. But I want to continue this that we've been doing, translations of calls. We've done baseball. We've done basketball. We've done football in the past. Kevin, I want to try soccer with you.
Oh, boy.
Soccer's a big sport.
Yeah, and I
a lot of interest.
You're in the fringe of my, you know, fringe of my broadcast there too. Like that's another one I've never done before.
All right. Well, obviously we're going to do a couple of World Cup highlights.
Got to.
The Women's World Cup, because they've been unbelievable. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Let go nicely by LaBelle. Right side, cross, done, go! It is Press on it.
It's Christian Press with the goal. Courtesy Fox.
Courtesy of Fox. I am going to check one thing. I hate to do this, but I am going to do one thing.
What are you looking up?
Right side cross.
Right side cross. Yeah, does that get a translation?
Well, because I didn't like crosses. Yeah, I didn't know if there was a word for cross. I hope I don't botch this, but I think it's right.
Hey, okay. I'm putting you to the test.
All right. Los Estados Unidos, Laval, con al lado derecho, Cruz y Christian Press, goal!
I was hoping you would do that.
Yeah, you do. I mean, and
you gotta have that.
And with apologies to Andres Kantor, because that is his thing. He's the one that made that a thing.
Right.
You know, so we do this all in deference to Andres Kantor, that he's the master of that. But yeah, you can't not.
You cannot. No. All right. Well, here is one more. Again, courtesy of Fox.
Horan setting it in there.
Feliz cumpleaños.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right.
Okay.
El paso al central y Alex Morgan, increíble goal. My voice cracked on that one. Goal. Y feliz cumpleaños, Alex Morgan, la ventaja, los americanos. Oh, I guess las americanas, because it's the women, right?
Right. Very good. Very good.
Yeah, you know, I soccer is something I've never touched. I mean, not from a broadcast standpoint, at least. So that's kind of fun, you know? You can really have some fun with it. And in our Packers stuff on Telemundo, sometimes we call field goals in that same way, because the term is gol de campo. That's a field goal. Literally, okay. Campo as in field, like of grass.
Okay.
Right? So gol de campo. And Epi Guerrero, that does the games with me, is fantastic. He'll do that. He'll go gol de campo.
So what would it be? Because typically, you're supposed to call the field in soccer the pitch.
Right. Right.
So do you translate pitch or do you translate field?
It's all the same. In Spanish, it's el campo. El campo
el
is the
campo.
Same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And here's something interesting too. The quarterback is a mariscal de campo. So it's like a field general.
Okay.
Yeah. Field general.
Huh.
That's probably the best translation. Mariscal de campo. But the term of the field, de campo, is in there.
Okay.
Like gol de campo, field goal, mariscal de campo, quarterback.
De campo.
So if see. You, next month when we do these things on Telemundo, you'll know those words if you hear them.
Absolutely. See, this is why we do Spanish class with Kevin Holden. I'm going to do one more with you.
Okay.
I'm going to do one more.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go back to baseball.
Yeah, baby.
We're going to go back to Bart Winkler's favorite broadcaster in the whole wide world, Tom Brenneman. Courtesy Fox Sports Ohio. Here we go.
And a bouncing ball down the right field line. This is not going to score, Puig, but it'll get him to third base. And Iglesias had ball circles through the infield. Incomplete. He is going to score. Reds win. Reds win. Reds win on the legs of Yasiel Puig.
Good luck trying to translate.
Iglesias had ball circles through the infield. Incomplete.
Those words don't make any sense.
No, incomplete.
Yeah, I think he said incomplete. I think he thought he was
doing football.
Yeah. And I feel terrible about this, because do I do this as a Brewers-centric announcer? Because I certainly won't have that same kind of passion for
no.
it. If I'm calling it as a Brewers guy, I gotta kind of put a different spin on it, right?
You need to be El Tom.
Okay, so this is Red-centric. Here we
yes.
go. This is like we're in Cincinnati. Okay.
Yes.
José Iglesias, línea al campo contrario, un sencillo, no va a notar hacia el Puig, corriendo a tercera base, pero Yelich tirando al infield. Oh, escapa Eric Thames, y hacia el Puig corriendo al plato. Puig anota, rojos ganan, rojos ganan. That's not bad, right?
Yeah. I'm only buzzing it because it's the Reds,
right.
And they scored.
Yeah, it's tough, you know, like, I'm not used to that. Brewers losing, I don't get excited.
So you didn't have the gibberish, though, in that
call.
Oh,
yeah, I guess I should have at some point. When it, and
where's
I said,
the incomplete?
Escapa things. Yes, you don't
Lacey,
ball
circles through the infield. Incomplete.
Yeah, that doesn't make the first bit of sense. Come on, Tom Brenneman. That was a different. That's another language. We have to get a course in that language.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was fun. I love doing that with you.
Such a blast, man. And it's a great challenge because it's like, it's early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And usually my brain isn't in that mode this morning. So it's fun. It's a nice stretch out a little bit.
So there's your Spanish lesson on a Friday. He's Kevin Holden, CBS 58 and Telemundo, Wisconsin. I'm Radio Joe. Coming up after the top, I'm going to put Kevin to the test again. We're going to do 7 with Kevin. Plus, also Jeff Hathorn from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh will give us the lowdown on the Pirates as the Brewers kick off 3-game set tonight. A lot to get to here on Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, and here in the Bryan and Stratton College Athletic Studios.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.